Well, good morning, and it looks like we're into another 4 weeks of lockdown, and some say as per minimum, and many schools aren't expecting to consider going back to school until next term. And so in some ways that's a bit disappointing news, but it's a little bit expected as well. But we need to keep praying for our governments and the like. The Hankins are there this morning. It's the first time they've joined us. And Charlie, make sure you remain on mute today during the service. After the service, you can unmute yourself, but that's just what we need to do. The other thing I wanted to say is I will be asking a question during my message today where you can answer. And all you need to do, you don't need to unmute. If you've got a computer, you just need to push your space bar and that'll enable you to speak just momentarily. And as soon as you take your finger off the space bar, that stops. So that's a lesson. And I often use that even at the end of the service when we're in discussion so that I don't accidentally disturb other people. I just push the space bar when I want to speak. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to get that gap in so that you actually get to speak though as well. If you're like the Hankins and are struggling to get onto Zoom, or if you know someone in the church who's got internet and the like but struggles to get into Zoom or has failed so far, they can contact me or you can ask me to go visit them to try to help them set up. This time around, because I'm allowed to go visit people, which I minimise for safety really for those I visit, but it enables me, it was very hard doing it over the internet, trying to line people up to do that, but it's a lot easier now that I can actually do it in a person's home. So it made it very easy when I went to the Hankins. Well, let me pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can gather here today to sing your praises together, to worship you, to hear more of the story of Jonah, his strengths and his weaknesses, and to learn from him, but mostly to learn from your interactions with the people of Nineveh and your interactions with Jonah. So, Lord, we pray that you may be with us as we gather. For those of our congregation who cannot gather with us, Lord, we pray that you would help us in ways to contact them and support them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melita, I think that person who was unmuted before is still unmuted, so you might like to fix that. Thank you.
I'm just telling you also, Alan, I'm having a bit of trouble with spotlighting today, so I can only spot one light one at a time, but I'm troubleshooting the issue. Thanks.
Okay. So we're continuing looking at Jonah today, the third out of four chapters, and today we look at Jonah's half-hearted obedience to his Lord, because you can't really say that his heart was in the task that God had given him to do. Yes, he tried escaping to start with, now he's being obedient, but his heart really isn't in it. But as we consider, Jonah should have considered all the graciousness that God had shown towards him, as being a descendant of Abraham, as being blessed and by being given the law and being one of his prophets. But he took all that for granted, and sometimes we do. And so that's why it's good to start today by giving thanks to God for all that he gives us. So let us pray this prayer together. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for life and health and safety, for freedom to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour, Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today we join with Mary, the mother of Jesus, in singing the praises of our Lord, our God and our Saviour, knowing that his mercy is sure and that from age to age he remains the same. So let us sing this whilst remaining muted.
Tell out my soul of the Lord, unnumbered blessings.
Russell's now going to read our reading from Jonah and just the Jonah reading. Thank you, Russell.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be able to worship together this morning. Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them to the destruction he had threatened. This is the word of the Lord. And the second reading from Matthew chapter 12. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up in the judgment and with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Russell. Well, I must say that I've really enjoyed preparing these talks on Jonah, for whilst I've heard this story over and over again since I was a child, there's so much more that I've learnt this time round. But that's one of the things about studying God's word. There's always something new to learn about my Lord in what he's revealed to us about himself. In fact, last week my mechanic asked me whether I ever ran out of things to say when I preached. Of course, you know, my problem is I tend to speak too long. And so that's not the case. And so I told him about how we're studying Jonah at the moment and about how much I've learned this time around from studying Jonah. And because he kept on listening, he seemed interested, I told him that the Bible was like that for me, that God is always teaching me something new for what he's written down for me to read. Then after that, we had some very good discussions on other significant matters. So our relationship moved forward on spiritual things just a little bit. And that's interesting because I've known him for 10 years now. And whilst he's told me that he's an atheist, and I believe he's a genuine atheist, a lot of people say they're atheists, but very few genuine ones, last week he told me for the first time about his Roman Catholic background. So we're building after 10 years. For since coming to Kingcumber, I've continued to build a relationship with him in the hope that he will develop a relationship with my Lord who he doesn't know. But when it comes to my relationship with him, with my mechanic, I believe that's where my heart is. I believe that's where God's heart is. For because I care for him, my mechanic, I want to see him put his trust in my Lord. And really, that's my desire for everyone I meet. But of course, as we see today, that wasn't Jonah's desire for the people of Nineveh, because his heart, and particularly as we'll see next week, was not aligned with God's heart. So then, stepping back a bit, what have I learnt actually this time around? Why has it been so special? Well, this time around, and you may have picked it up because I've been putting it in the questions and other places, I've noticed how the Hebrew word translated into English as the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, has been used throughout the book of Jonah. And as you'll see today, this is especially pertinent, stands out in chapter 3. So that being the case, let's begin by looking at this word to start with, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, as you see it on the theme for today. When we read the word the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, in our Bibles, we're looking really at the personal name of the God whom we worship, the name that he is revealed to call him. Now, my personal name, of course, is Alan, but then how did you find out my personal name? Well, it was either through me introducing myself to you, or someone else introducing you to me, or through someone else telling you about me, or possibly even reading about me. And really, that's the same for God's personal name. For the ways in which you and I can come to know God's personal name is through either God introducing himself to us, or through someone else introducing us to him, to their Lord, or through us hearing about him through someone else or through his written word. Now, so far as we've studied the book of Jonah, we've seen that Jonah knew God and that he knew God by name, for Jonah had a personal relationship with his Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, the reason why Jonah had a personal relationship with the Lord was firstly because he was a direct descendant of Abraham. For in Genesis chapter 12, when God first introduced himself to Abraham, God told Abraham his name. And that was because God intended to maintain a personal relationship with Abraham throughout his life, but also to his descendants. Mind you, Jonah, as one of God's prophets, had an even closer personal relationship with God than many of the Israelites of his time. And we see this very clearly in this book because the name the Lord is mentioned so often in communication, in personal relationships between the Lord and Jonah. So in chapter 1, we read that the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, came to Jonah. But then, of course, we saw that the pagan soldiers did not have a personal relationship with Jonah's Lord, and that they did not know his name. But then we saw how Jonah introduced these sailors to his Lord by using his personal name. And then we saw that by the time the sailors threw Jonah into the sea, they'd started calling on Jonah's God by name, by his personal name, the Lord. And this shows us that some sort of personal relationship had developed between the sailors and Jonah's Lord. For the sailors had moved from seeing Jonah's God as being transcendent, so a God who was really unknown to them, out there beyond their grasp, or as the hymn writer says, ineffably sublime, to being a God whom they came to know personally by name. For by the end of that chapter, these sailors were crying out to Jonah's Lord, addressing him by name. For through Jonah, these sailors came to know Jonah's Lord as the one true God, so that they, we read, feared the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. They offered sacrifices to Jonah's Lord and made vows to Jonah's Lord. So for me, this is a remarkable, wonderful story about how God used Jonah to reveal himself personally to these pagan soldiers, sailors, who I suspect from that time on continued to call upon Jonah's Lord. We don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if we one day meet them in heaven. Now, this calling out to the Lord as the pagan sailors did takes me back to Genesis chapter 4. For in Genesis chapter 4, we read the genealogy of Cain. You may remember, when we'll look at this more closely next week, Cain murdered his brother Abel. But at the end of Cain's genealogy, we're introduced to Adam and Eve's third son named Seth. And Seth, we know, had a son whom he named Enosh. But then we read, at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that's significant, that personal connection to the creator of the universe. As you may recall, the Bible then goes on to talk about Noah, who is a direct descendant of Seth. And we know that Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord, who I assume he called upon. And so what we see clearly from these early chapters of Genesis is that those who called on the name of the Lord had a personal relationship with the Lord, the God of the universe. So that's my first point, that whenever you see the phrase the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, because sometimes in the same sentence it'll have Lord, capital L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. Whenever you see that capital Lord in the Bible, you're seeing God revealing himself personally to his people. You're seeing that personal two-way relationship. Now, in Hebrew, the word for the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, are the letters YHWH. Though you may know that the Hebrew scribes, in their wisdom, chose to delete these vowels when they copied this word. In fact, it wasn't, I think, till after the exile that the scribes started including the vowels. And so they excluded the vowels, which is a strange thing to do. God is a person who's revealed himself, he's revealed his name, and the scribes say, well, we'd better take those letters out so that nobody can pronounce his name. And one reason why they did this was to stop people from accidentally breaking the third commandment. You know, the third of the ten, maybe you remember it. You shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so they sought to prevent people misusing the name of the Lord. In fact, when I looked this up on the internet, I went to a Jewish website where the name of the Lord was talked about in English. And whenever the rabbi wrote the English word God, he put G-D, so he left out the vowel, so they're still doing it. And so if these scribes and rabbis were to use this same principle for my name, then they would have simply written my name as LLN, leaving out the two vowels. And because there'd be no vowels, unless you knew me, unless you'd heard my name, if you saw it written down, you might call me Lallon, or you might call me Lylon, or if you're lucky, you might call me Alan. Now, in choosing to leave out the vowels, the personal name that God had chosen to reveal to his people, firstly to Abraham, was lost to people unless God's name was passed down to them orally. So there's that, there is still that intimate personal connection. In fact, the Jewish website that I quoted a moment ago went on to say, we Jews have an absolute obsession with avoiding uttering G-D's name. Actually, we're careful not to pronounce G-D's names except when reading the Torah or the prayers. So again, it's through that oral relational passing on. Though I think this is a terrible thing. And I'm so thankful that the Hebrew texts which I use include vowels, even the name of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And on top of this, I'm so thankful that God has chosen to reveal himself personally to us in the person whom we know in English as being Jesus, or in Greek as being Yesus, or in Hebrew as being Yeshua. Beautiful, wonderful name. And I'm so thankful that through Jesus, we've come to know God the Father as our Father. For our Lord's intention is clearly that we come to know him personally. And likewise, I'm so thankful in the book of Jonah that those pagan soldiers in chapter 1 came to know Jonah's Lord in a personal way. For one of the reasons, as we read back in Genesis chapter 12, as to why the Lord chose to bless Abraham and his descendants, including Jonah, was so that all the peoples of the world would be blessed by God by being given the opportunity to come to know Abraham's Lord in a personal way. So there's my background for today's talk. Mind you, that's half my talk today, so it's not as bad as it might seem. But that's sort of what I've been learning this time around as I've studied more closely the book of Jonah, and as I've read it through from beginning to end and picked up some of the differences that are there. Now, last week when Arthur spoke to us, we looked at the prayer that Jonah prayed to his Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and within the fish, and we saw how Jonah repented of disobeying his Lord, and how the Lord then commanded the fish that the Lord had sent to save Jonah to then spit Jonah out onto dry land. And so what we should recognize is that it was because Jonah knew the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, on a personal basis, that when Jonah repented and acknowledged that his salvation came from the Lord alone, that the Lord forgave Jonah. And not only did the Lord forgive Jonah, the Lord then recommissioned Jonah to the task that he had given him previously, which was to preach against Nineveh because of the wickedness of its people. Now, thankfully, well, I say thankfully, I don't know if it's a good thing to, when somebody convicts us of our wickedness, but this time round, we read verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and he went to Nineveh. Now, in this reading, Jonah chapter 3, we're told that Nineveh was a very large city, then, and it took 3 days to get through it. Though, as the archaeologists and others have shown, it wouldn't have taken 3 days to get through the walled city of Nineveh. And this means that the area Nineveh covered in those 3 days would have included lands either side of the main city. It's a bit like, how long would it take us to walk through Sydney? Probably longer than 3 days if you include all the suburbs and then possibly Greater Sydney as well. Now, next we read that Jonah went into the city and proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Interesting that there's a period given, 40 more days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And we'll actually see those words fulfilled. So Jonah faithfully proclaimed the word that the Lord, his Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, had given him to say to the people of Nineveh. And this is where you can push your space bar. Can anyone tell me what word is missing firstly in verse 4 and then to the end of the chapter? So if you know the answer, push your space bar and tell me. No one's coming forward. No one's game. Go ahead, sorry.
Obviously, it's the word L-O-R-D, which you said, which I missed what your translation was because of an internet dropout, but I believe it's Jehovah.
You're dead right, Barry. Thanks for speaking up. So that's right. The word that's missing is that word that I've been focusing on, the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And so what's missing in these verses is the personal name of God, and so that aspect of a personal relationship. Now, I assume that, unlike in his dealings with pagan sailors, Jonah chose not to reveal God's personal name to the people of Nineveh. So Jonah kept his Lord really transcendent, so out of their reach. And by doing this, Jonah chose not to reveal to the people of Nineveh the personal relationship that he himself shared with the creator of the universe. It reminds me of when I first moved to Perth for our wedding. On our wedding day, Melita bought me a bonsai plant. I killed it the first year, and then we moved to Perth the second year, but we'd had a new plant in there, and we got it across in a trailer across the Nullarbor. Got it over there at the border, just outside of Norseman. They made all these plants that we'd brought with us. They made us throw them in the bin, and then they let us keep the bonsai, but we had to take it to customs or whatever it's called, Department of Agriculture. And so we went there to a suburb in Midland. And so when we went there for the first time, I came across what I hadn't really seen before, a young street preacher. And whilst he may well have been preaching the gospel, he may have even been doing it faithfully, he wasn't having any personal interaction with his hearers. He's just standing on a street corner. We walked past him when the lights went green. And because he wasn't, I guess, interested in me, because he wasn't revealing himself to me, because he was possibly doing it because he had to, I made no connection with either him nor his Lord. And that's what I see Jonah doing here as he preached to the Ninevites. For unlike in his dealings with the sailors, Jonah's heart wasn't in his preaching. For, as we'll see next week, he really didn't care about his audience. And so that would be the equivalent to you or me telling people to repent of their sins, but telling them nothing about our Heavenly Father or about our wonderful Jesus or about even our own personal relationship with our Lord. But what a terrible thing it would be if we did that. For look at Jesus. Think about him when he came across the Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman, the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. But think about how he went out of his way to relate to her personally and to talk to her about how she could be saved by worshipping the one true Lord. And then think about what she did, about how she went out of her way to tell the whole town, many of whom possibly hated her, about the man who had come to her, the Jewish man, and had told him and who knew everything about her. And so when we look at the account of Jonah, I go, isn't it a shame that Jonah wasn't more like Jesus, wasn't more like the Lord whom he worshipped, the Lord whom he'd encountered through his own life, and particularly when he was in the belly of the fish. Well, isn't it a shame that he wasn't more like his God, his Lord, when he preached to the Ninevites? So then why was the Lord's prophet Jonah being so out there with the people of Nineveh? Well, that's the question we look at more closely next week. But today I want to focus on how Jonah sold his Lord short as he proclaimed the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that the Lord had given him to say to the people of Nineveh. For Jonah preached in a way that lacked the heart that the Lord had for the people of Nineveh. So he sold them short. For what was the Lord's heart for them? Well, as we'll see next week, the Lord wanted Jonah to preach to them because he was concerned for them. But what happened? Well, verse 5, when the Ninevites heard this poor excuse for an Israeli evangelist, they believed him, shock horror, and repented of their wickedness. But then would that happen if we did the same today? Probably not. So then why were the people of Nineveh moved by this message from Jonah? Because most importantly, and this is the main reason, this was the word of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And when his word goes out, it does not return to him until it has done all the work that he has given it to do, both good and bad. So that's the first reading, the reason. Secondly, because it's likely that Jonah's Lord had been at work amongst the people of Nineveh prior to Jonah's arrival, preparing them for this personal word. For whilst they did not know the Lord, some believe that the Lord had been preparing them for this day. For example, some historians say that several significant things happened just prior to Jonah's arrival that would have caused the Ninevites to respond or possibly respond to the word of the Lord as presented by Jonah. It's like a lady who rang me this week. She's about to have a child. She was baptized as an Anglican. Her partner was baptized as a Roman Catholic. And now she's going, am I sinning? We're not married. My child's about to be born. There's all these things happening in the world. We believe that God is doing something. I said, are you reading the Bible? She says, no, we don't have a Bible. And so please pray for her that she may find a Bible. It's a bit hard to get a Bible for her at this time, but please pray. And she was a bit cagey. She didn't want to be identified. But please pray that God may continue his work in her. So several significant things may have happened just before Jonah arrived that would have caused them to be sort of on edge, thinking that God was going to judge them. And what this means for us is that we should never try to assume who may respond to the Lord's message when we proclaim it to them. And so as we look at Jonah, we've got to ask the question, because we know that Jonah was happy to talk about the prosperity of to prophesy about the prosperity of Israel to the king of Israel. We see that in Kings, but he's not so keen here. And so the question then comes to us, who do you witness to about Jesus? For do you, possibly like Jonah, only witness to people whom you expect that your Lord would want to come into his kingdom? Though it's not as easy as that when we look at Jonah. Or more like Jonah, do you only witness to people whom you'd like your friends, your family, people you'd like to see in heaven with you? For it is only those whom you like that you open up your life to share with them about the personal relationship that you have with your Lord. It's one thing that we learn from Jonah. You know, possibly more often than not, it's those people whom we dislike, whom we'd least expect to respond to the message of Jesus, who will respond. Again, we look to Jesus. Jesus said, it's the sick that need a doctor, not the healthy. And that's why in the Gospels we see not the Pharisees, not the religious ones, not the good people coming to Jesus, but tax collectors and prostitutes. Now, we'll go into this more later when we seek to apply this passage to our own lives, but for now, let's go back to the reading. In verse 6, we read that in the end, even the king, he's a pretty powerful person, even the king responded to the message that the Lord had given to Jonah. The Lord had prepared the ground, and he rose from his throne. He removed his clothes. He dressed himself in sackcloth, scratchy, itchy, uncomfortable, and he sat in the dust. Why? Because he repented of his wickedness at the preaching of the word of the Lord. In fact, he was so convicted by the word of the Lord that he commanded his people, including their herds and their flocks, to fast and to be covered in sackcloth. For the Ninevites, make no mistake, the Ninevites were a wicked people. But now that they had heard the word of the Lord preached by Jonah, they repented. But note verse 8, unlike the sailors of chapter 1, the king didn't command his people to call urgently upon the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, and why not? For as I said before, I don't believe that Jonah introduced them to his Lord. For despite all that Jonah had learnt in the belly of the fish, Jonah wasn't prepared to share his life or his Lord with the people of Nineveh. Why was that? Well, we'll look at that again next week. Now, despite Jonah's failure to introduce them to his Lord, the king of Nineveh called upon his people to call urgently upon, if I do a literal, call urgently upon the God. In other words, the God of Jonah. And the king called on them to give up their evil ways and their violence. For these were a wicked people. The king knew it and the people knew it. And then the king said of this God whom he virtually knew nothing about, who knows, the God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. The king submitted himself to what he knew about this God. And how insightful was he? In fact, isn't that, based on his own experience, what Jonah should have been telling them? That was, if he had any compassion for them at all. But unlike Jesus, and unlike Jonah's Lord, Jonah had no compassion for these people. In fact, I suspect if Jonah was sent to us here in Australia, he'd have no compassion for us as well at this time in his life. But thankfully, it was God, the Lord, who had compassion on the Ninevites. And that's one of the reasons why he sent Jonah to them with his word. Now, despite the messenger, what we then read is that when the God whom they called upon saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented, and so he did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Why? Because through the preaching of Jonah, the city, those words were fulfilled. The city was overturned. It was overthrown as the people repented of their wickedness and called upon the God of Jonah. Mind you, in some ways we're jumping ahead at this point, or at least the author of this book is. For next week, we'll see what happened. I think it's during those 40 days. It may have been after the 40 days when nothing happened, but during those 40 days, and more as to why God chose to relent from carrying out his destruction against the Ninevites. But I think Desmond Alexander writes a helpful comment that sort of helps us with what then happens in the future, which we'll look at in the coming weeks about these people. He says, although the people of Nineveh repented, unlike the sailors, there is no indication that they were converted to Yahwehism. So capital Lord is Yahweh. They didn't convert to Yahwehism like the sailors. For as far as we can tell, the Ninevites did not enter into a personal relationship with Jonah's Lord and start offering sacrifices to him or praising him by name. And really, that's where our reading finishes today. Now, next week and then weeks to come, we'll see the lesson that's really behind God ensuring that these words that he chose to be recorded for us in the book of Jonah were written down in the first place and passed on to, firstly, the descendants of Abraham and then to us. For the people of Israel, particularly, should have learned from Jonah's disobedience, but they also should have learned from what happened to the Ninevites when they repented. Likewise, when we look at this passage and seek to apply it to our own lives, I think we need to remind ourselves to not be like Jonah, to remind ourselves what a wonderful privilege it is that we can call upon the Lord, the sovereign creator of the universe, personally by name. For we need to remember what a wonderful privilege it is that our Lord has forgiven us, that he continues to forgive us like he forgave Jonah when we repent of our sins. For as we'll see next week, this privilege of knowing the Lord personally ensures that God will continue to work at maintaining his personal relationship with us and will show us mercy and compassion when we fall into sin. He will call us back into relationship with him. He will cause us to come to him in repentance. Because it's not that we're special that the Lord chose to show us mercy. Rather, it's because our Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, is special. But as we see today, when it comes to people, our Lord shows no partiality. He judges them based upon what has been revealed to them. And so great is the responsibility that we have received much to pass on what we know to others. God shows no partiality, and so he sent Jonah to the Ninevites to give them the opportunity to repent. And when they repented, he relented from carrying out his destruction against them. And so as we seek to proclaim the good news of Jesus, and as we seek to call on people to repent, we need to be more like our Lord and reveal his grace to everyone, even those who we might not like or even those who might hate us. That's where that Matthew reading comes in, and we'll pick up that in 2 weeks' time more closely as we look at that, or 3 weeks' time. But this sign of Jonah, something greater than Jonah is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Now something greater than Jonah is here. Well, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We come before you knowing that we can call you Father, because we know your Son, our brother, and because your Spirit dwells within us. We thank you that the indwelling of your Spirit ensures an ongoing personal relationship with you. There will be times when we wander from you. There will be times when we lose our trust in you. There will be times when we deliberately do the opposite to what you've told us to do. But we thank you for the personal relationship you have maintained with us up till now, that nothing has been able to grasp us out of your hand. Lord, as we live in this wonderful relationship, we pray that you would help us to share this wonderful relationship that we have with others, that you may help us to call on people to turn to you, before the day of their destruction comes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in a moment, Les is going to lead us in our prayers, but just before he does, it's I don't know if I should say this, but it's always good to look at people on the screen beforehand. It was wonderful seeing Graham and Diane. Diane was clapping her hands and singing joyfully as the songs that happened before the service. They start about a quarter of an hour before. But I think Graham and Diane snuck in a kiss at that same time as well. But there was nothing gets hidden. But it's good to see people, and it's good to be able to relate personally. And so if you're able to stay at the end of the service, please do. Now let me turn over to Les as he leads us in our prayers. There's nothing really new to add. I have written about who could be your buddy if you're a single, and particularly think of those who don't have internet. If you're looking for a buddy, think, well, who could I contact? And if you want any help with that, then please give me a call. Thanks, Les.
Okay. Before I start praying, can I remind you all that on the email Alan sends out for this service, there's also a link for a prayer meeting on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. We used to meet at the church. We now meet on Zoom. And if you're sitting at home doing nothing, please join us. Mm-hmm. 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, a sign of Terrigal Uniting Church says, the rules of love are everybody, always. It reminds me that your love exemplifies this, as you are the one who sent your son Jesus to an ignominious death on the cross for all people, no matter what race, colour or creed they are. You are an ever-loving God who desires that all would repent and believe in you. We do pray this morning for those who haven't yet acknowledged that love, that they might turn and accept the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for our bishops, Peter, Charlie and Sonia, that they will read your word regularly, see the truth contained therein, and lead our diocese faithfully in this truth. Help us also to be faithful to your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we bring before you our state and federal leaders, particularly our Premier Gladys and Prime Minister Scott. We pray that they and the other state leaders will work cooperatively to bring our country through this pandemic safely, but also that we and our fellow citizens will do what is required of us to assist our leaders. We particularly ask that the leaders of our nation seek to help those whose livelihoods have been destroyed or damaged by the shutdowns. We pray that we'll be aware of those in our church and community who need help and give assistance when we can. Father, we particularly think of the old, the lonely, the sick, the children who are stuck at home and not at school. But Father, I read in the paper yesterday about a woman who has just given birth and she's having postnatal depression and there's no help for her. Father, we just pray for people of that nature who are struggling with mental health at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Lord God, we know that what the world needs most is faith in you. And we ask that you pour out your spirit on the people of our nation and our world through this pandemic. Please empower God's people throughout the world, including us, so that others may be drawn to join us in worshipping you. Lord, in your mercy, we bring before you the missionaries we support, the Kingdons in Newman, the Douse in Senegal, and the Brownings, and pray that you will use their work to bring people to love and love you. But this morning, Lord, we particularly pray for the Buchanans as they stay in limbo. We ask that you may grant them great patience as they wait to go back to Sharjah. We give thanks that Arby's had her first vaccination and for Timothy's continued health and growth. As Indonesia is struggling with effective COVID response, particularly in Toraja, that the government and community will take the steps to work on a way out of the pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. Finally, we bring for you all those in need. Especially we pray for Remy Carnaby, Nathan Skian, Ruth Rich, Robin Small, Robin Walters, Mavis Viner, Maggie Dibley, Vera Day and Doris Fox, Michael Sanderson and Clarice Grace. Father, may they find strength in your love and learn to rely on you for their future. We bring all these things to Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Well, thank you, Les. Well, it was quite fitting today to choose a song which spoke about the name of the Lord that we know by personally. And this song picks up what a wonderful thing it is to be able to call upon our Lord, the creator of the universe, by name. And what a beautiful, wonderful name it is, Jesus Christ, my King. Let's listen to this song and feel free to sing it at home.
Now and forever, God, you
powerful name it is, the name of Jesus that brought us into our relationship with the living and eternal God. Some beautiful expressions in that song, wonderful words that are contained within it that help us to remind us of the steps that Jesus took to come down from heaven in order so that we could join him. Well, let me close with the blessing for Pentecost. May God stir up within you the gift of the Spirit that he has given to you, that you may confess Jesus Christ as Lord and proclaim the joy of the everlasting gospel wherever you may be. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. So then let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and hopefully I'll see plenty of you on the screen in a moment. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. What I'll do is I will create some breakout rooms and I'll put you